Word of mouth.
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 Well, that's what.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, researchers discover a connection between yogurt and machismo. And Hasidic Jews flee their ultra-Orthodox communities to become reality TV stars. We'll talk to the producer and star of the forthcoming show, Shunned. First, though, new tactics for the 99%. Hundreds of Occupy Wall Street demonstrators descended on San Francisco yesterday in an attempt to crash banking giant Wells Fargo's annual shareholders meeting. Dozens of shareholder protesters were ejected from the meeting for shouting about lofty executive pay, demanding that Wells pay a fair share of corporate taxes, and calling for a moratorium on home foreclosures. Some of those arrested identified themselves as members of the 99% Shareholder Spring, or the 99% Spring. That's a collaboration between several activist groups. Josh Harkinson took a civil obedience disobedience class sponsored by one of those organizations, MoveOn.org, and wrote about it for Mother Jones Magazine. Josh, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Good to be here, Virginia.
So what is the 99% Spring Initiative and who's behind it?
Well, it's possibly the largest attempt ever to train people in nonviolent protest techniques. It's basically an effort put on by a coalition of dozens of groups ranging from labor unions to Move On to community groups to train about 100,000 people in how to protest in sort of the same way that Occupy did this fall.
Indeed large. They're advertising that you are about to join 100,000 of us gathering in homes, places of worship, on campuses, in the streets to train and prepare ourselves for nonviolent direct action. How are they doing on that 100,000 goal?
Well, it's hard to say. They were rolling out these trainings around the country. I attended one, as you said, in San Francisco. But they're also doing trainings online, and that's something that Move On has a lot of experience with. Obviously, they have like 7 million members who are on their email list. And a lot of those people have never really been to a direct action protest before. They're more used to just clicking on internet petitions. And so the reason this is a really big deal is that Move On is trying to get these folks to do something new, to actually take to the streets. And a lot of other groups are doing the same thing. So they're sort of taking their cues from the Occupy movement now and saying, hey, we should try this too. We should see if there's another way that we can change things besides, you know, what we've normally been doing.
The website for 99% Spring says you can do training in 1 hour going through a slideshow, I guess. You, however, went to a training session, one of apparently 900 held, I guess, last week nationwide. What did you do?
Well, you know, it started with this kind of slick video urging trainees to break into small groups and share their personal stories. And then came a condensed history of American social movements. Everything from the civil rights era to, the immigration protests in 2006 and beyond, followed by drills on nonviolent protest strategies. So, it was very straightforward and focused. And at no point did trainers suggest that their students get involved in specific political actions like electoral politics, and which had been a concern for people in the Occupy movement who were worried about being co-opted by all of this stuff.
That is a much bigger concern, I guess, among people that you met at the training. Should the Democratic Party be worried about that? That a lot of people who were in the Occupy movement say, we're not going to touch electoral politics. It's not effective anymore.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, I spoke to the director of MoveOn.org, and he told me that, he feels like they have no choice but to take this approach because, what they've been doing in the past just hasn't worked. I mean, with the Citizens United Supreme Court decision that kind of opened the doors to unlimited political spending, groups like Move On feel like they're at a disadvantage now, and they can't just kind of go through the conventional political system and leave it at that anymore. They really need to try other things simultaneously. And so, he told me that he thinks that this actually will help their electoral efforts as well because it kind of keeps the media narrative focused on income inequality and corporate money and politics and when the conversation is about that, Democratic candidates tend to do pretty well.
It is interesting after, so many months of saying, well, it's a leaderless movement. It has no particular goals. But the language of this movement really did bubble up. I mean, we heard a lot of 99% language about fairness, income disparity in American vernacular, but also GOP campaigns and presidential speeches.
Yeah, it was striking that Newt Gingrich basically criticized Mitt Romney for being a heartless capitalist. I mean, you don't hear that very often coming from a Republican primary candidate. And I think that a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Occupy movement was dominating the news at the time.
What's interesting here is that no one is really stepping up to claim ownership, you found, you know, of the 99% spring or 99% shareholder spring. It's a collaboration, also a leaderless movement. So are they just repeating the tactics of Occupy, or is there something deeper here going on about ownership?
Well, I think that in some ways they're repeating the tactics, but in other ways they're trying to expand the movement by bringing in new people. And, you know, I spoke to one of the, this man named Stephen Lerner, who is one of the executive board members of the SEIU, you know, America's largest labor union. And he told me that, you know, what he hopes is that by focusing, getting people to take to the streets and focusing on targets like the banks, they can expand the movement because the banks are so central to so many issues that affect a wide range of people, from, you know, investing in coal-powered plants that hurt the environment to investing in immigration detention centers that affect, you know, recent immigrants to obviously the foreclosure crisis. And so the idea is to sort of assemble this coalition that kind of encompasses a lot of different groups and get everybody united and talking about similar things.
So Josh Harkinson, they spoke to you, the leadership spoke to you about getting people on the streets, but at the training you went to, there was nothing announced that they're gearing up for, no specific dates, no specific shareholder meetings or actions?
Well, you know, the trainers themselves took a hands-off approach, but a lot of the people who had showed up for the training did announce a wide range of actions that they were personally working on. And so it was kind of like this clearinghouse for people to talk about what they were doing. And that included things like May Day, which is probably the largest focus of the Occupy movement this spring. And it's going to involve protests in 40 different cities. There's a plan to take over the Golden Gate Bridge, for example, to essentially shut down Midtown Manhattan. And so, you know, people did get plugged in a variety of ways.
Josh, last time we spoke to you, you talked about some of the Occupy candidates that were going to be on the ballot in this November and also in the primary season. Yesterday in Pennsylvania, some noted Blue Dog Democrats were taken down by much more progressive candidates, some even bearing the Occupy stamp. Not a lot of news made about that, however. What's your take?
Well, you know, I think it's still too early to tell whether you're going to see kind of a resurgence of progressive candidates this year and whether the Occupy movement is going to have an effect. I mean, you know, it's pretty well known that kind of the rank and file within the movement are skeptical of getting involved in electoral politics. But I do think that the movement helps these candidates by, you know, focusing the subject on things like income inequality. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it could well happen that people decide to jump into the electoral game more than they have been.
Well, Josh, we may well be speaking about that with you again soon. Thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Josh Harkinson wrote about the 99% Spring Movement for Mother Jones Magazine. There's a link to his article and also to the 99% Spring site and some other articles covering its actions. All that's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, you can still talk to your plants, just don't yell at them. A researcher discovers the effect of noise pollution on plant life. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.